Yes, there are going to be girls who are going to be like, oh no, he's too short. Who cares? For every girl that says you're too short, there's going to be another girl that says, okay, I'm down. Give me that little short king dick.
Get into wilding out. All right. This is an environment where everybody's funny. Everybody's charismatic.
Yeah.
Everybody's potentially rich too. In this kind of environment, how do you stand out with the girls?
Here's what I always used to do, right? If there was a girl with like beautiful green eyes or some shit like that, I would be like, yo, I don't know if anyone's ever told you this, but you have the prettiest ears. There was a dude that I gave that advice to. He's like, yeah, so I sat next to this pretty girl in my class. I said, you have nice elbows. and then she got up and left.
When was like prime Tim single life?
When the YouTube shit was kind of like at its most popping. Oh. So we were like, yo, I'm in Toronto. Who's down? And someone would be like, I'm down. And it was like, all right, come through. And that was it. My was probably lame in high school. They got some YouTube views now.
Man, you don't gotta make so much eye contact with me, bro. God. Like, I know I was lame, but like, damn, bro.
It's one girl, Connie, in high school, in drama class. And I knew she was feeling me, and then everybody knew she was feeling me, and they left us in the theater. But then I was like, all right, I guess we should go to the next class. Oh. I look back on that moment like, God. Connie was thick, too.
Let's get a little deep. What do you think was the biggest mistake of your career? Alrighty, we have Mr. Tim. Toronto.
What's up, man?
What gets me through these podcasts is gamer subs. My favorite drinks to drink is a nootropic. Keeps you alert, focused. So if you guys want to try a free sample, click on the first link down below. Go listen to this episode on Spotify. The link will also be down below. Last but not least, go check out the Fan House for early access to these podcasts, as well as extended cuts and a whole lot more. Your boy is doing a class next month. So July 6th, tune in on the Fan House. We got a cute little community in there. You don't want to miss out.
I mean, I feel like this man needs no further introduction. You know, if you Asian, you know this man.
I mean, that's facts. That's probably kind of facts.
You know, it's been, you know, this man has been years in the game, right? Legendary Pokemon Asian. And yeah, I mean, we're just going to jump straight into the questions.
Sure, bro. Whatever you want to talk about, let's talk about it.
First and foremost, I want to talk about, you're known to be smooth with the ladies.
I mean, you know, I've had my time of canoodling with the ladies and right. Like, I feel like I've had good luck. Yeah.
Right. Do you think this was always like innate or do you think, did Tim learn from somebody?
You know what it was? Okay. Well, I feel like a big thing with dealing with just relationships and women and approaching women is like confidence, right? And I've always been a really confident dude ever since I was a little kid.
So it was never like, oh, like I learned from somebody. It was just like, yo, I hung out with confident motherfuckers.
I mean, if I was to credit anybody, it would be like just Fresh Prince reruns.
Speaking of schedules, Carlton, the clinic called. You're still on for your implant tomorrow.
I always tell people, like, I never had an older brother growing up, and I always looked at the Fresh Prince as, like, my older brother, older cousin that kind of, like, showed me how to be confident, how to, like, approach women and just, like, not care and, like, be stupid.
You look so good, I'd marry your brother just to get in your family.
I got to tell you, that suit looked like a piece of good God wrapped up with some have mercy with a side of...
Really? Oh, you don't think it's too revealing?
Well, if it is, your secret's safe with me, huh? Well, come on, let's get out this heat before I pop something.
You know what I'm saying? Of course, everybody's like, you know, has their little bits where they're like, you know, they might feel self-conscious about something or they're afraid to walk up to somebody. But for me, I just always liked girls and I always just wanted to talk to girls, you know, ever since I was a little kid.
No, Fresh Prince, I grew up on Fresh Prince too. I think I didn't really think about it when, like, because I was always nervous. I was always shy.
Yeah.
But then once I got over that, then all the Fresh Prince, all the things that I, like, watched, I feel like that started kicking in.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because initially, like, I had, like, fears, like, and like, insecurities to kind of get over it. But you never...
Well, you know what? I just posted something about, like, because I've been saying this a long time, and I just posted a little TikTok about it the other day. But, you know... Like I said, I always liked girls, right?
Yeah.
Always had, you know, was always like doing little stuff. Like, I remember Danielle in preschool. I brought her a flower, and but that same day I brought her a flower, she was getting a massage, a little back rub from Jonathan Sabato on
from
the slide.
From pre-K, these I girls was all playing.
I was hurt, bro. And then, you know, as I got older, I remember like I would just do little cute shit for girls, like. Joanne Cho in third grade. I drew her a picture of Jasmine and Aladdin. I mean, it said, like, I love you and shit. And then she went and showed the rest of the class, like, trying to be like, oh, my God, look what Tim did. Trying to clown me.
Yeah, yeah.
But I told this story the other day where I was probably, like, I don't know, 12, 13, 14, something like that. And I was at the mall at the Vans store. And I saw this, like, beautiful girl, right? And I was like, yo, I gotta talk to this girl. I think she might have been mixed. She might have been, I don't know, because she had like a Asian eyes.
Right.
But she had like a big ass fro. You know? And I was like, oh, this girl's
so
beautiful.
A nice Blasian.
Possibly. Potentially. Yeah. So I'm like, I gotta talk to this girl. But then I was like, I don't know what I'm gonna say. I was nervous and I kept like doubting myself. And then I was like, nah, okay, just talk to her. You gotta talk to her. And I turned around and she was gone. And I was like, God damn. I was like, what? I went outside, I looked outside the store. She was nowhere to be seen, right? So I'm like, what if that was my wife? What if that was my potential, like, wife, right? Yeah. And then from that moment, I told myself, I'm like, damn, like, I'm not going to be afraid to approach women. But not only that, I'm not going to be afraid to just go after what I want in life. You know what I'm saying? Because, like, when you get rejected, you feel stupid for, like, 5 minutes. Right. But the feeling of regret, that lasts, like, forever. You know what I'm saying? I'm always going to be – I was, like, for the longest time, I was like, damn, that girl at the mall. So after that, I was like, man, who cares if I go up to a girl and I get rejected or she says no? I'm going to just, like, be like, all right, brush it off and just, you know, move on to the next one. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, but even as confident as I told myself I was, I had, like, girls in high school that I, like – I regret –
not talking to.
Or not making a move. You know what I'm saying? Right, like, specifically, this one girl, Connie, in high school, in drama class. Like, I knew she was feeling me. Yeah. And Connie was hot. You know what I'm saying? She had, like, she was...
Blasian?
No, actually, she was Mexican, but she kind of, like, she had, like, her vibe was almost, like...
Damn, you were looking across the rainbow.
Oh, bro. I taste the rainbow, bro. Okay, yeah. I never discriminated, ever, you know? Right. And she had, like low-key goth Hot Topic vibes, you know what I'm saying? She wore jeans with mad, like, safety pins in them and
she
shit.
She got, like, fishnets on and shit.
Yeah, fishnets, like, really black bangs. Oh, yeah. She was fucking hot, though, right? And I knew she was feeling me, and then everybody knew she was feeling me, and they left us in the theater.
Ooh.
And I was like, all right, in my head, I'm like, all right, she's feeling me. And then, but then I was like, I bitched out. I was like, all right, I guess we should go to the next class.
Oh.
She was like, oh, okay. And then, like, and then for the long, I look back on that moment, like, God. Connie was thick, too.
Oh, well.
It happens.
All right. When was, like, prime Tim single life?
So there was probably, like, a good year and some change where I was, like, full out single hoeing.
Right.
Because it was, like.
What age, by the way? Just out of curiosity.
Well, this was in between my ex and my wife.
Yeah.
So I was probably, let's see, 23?
Oh.
Ish. Something like that.
Okay.
Wait. Let me do the exact. Something like that.
Yeah.
Like mid-20s, all right? Okay. The YouTube shit was popping.
Yeah.
I was officially single, so I could, like, you know, put it out there online and in videos and shit like that. And also, like, my single time happened to coincide with when the YouTube shit was kind of, like, at its most popping.
Oh.
So we were, like, touring.
Yeah.
And it was just really, like, fun and, like, casual and easy. You know what I'm saying? It'd just be like, yo, I'm in Toronto. Who's down? And someone would be like, I'm down. And it was like, all right, come through. And that was it, you know? So back then, I mean, at that point, I didn't even really need to have any type of game. It was just kind of like,
you were just at any city, at any, like, maybe at by the hotel.
Yeah. I mean, pretty much. It was fun. It was fun.
Now get into wilding out. Obviously, this is an environment where everybody's funny, everybody's charismatic, everybody's, you know, potentially rich too, and you know,
people make money, yeah,
right. So it's like, in this kind of environment, right? How do you stand out with the girls?
I mean,
and you know, like, guys probably try to slide on some Wildin' Out girls, like, you know, after the episode.
I mean, obviously, you know, I was with Chia during Wildin' Out, so I wasn't trying to holler at no Wildin' Out girls, but. You know, I think it's the same shit. Like, when you got so many dudes coming at you as a girl, I mean, they've heard the same shit over and over and over again. You know what I'm saying? It's like, here's what I always used to do, right? If there was a girl with, like, beautiful, like, green eyes or some shit like that, I would be like, yo, I don't know if anyone's ever told you this, but you have the prettiest ears. So then she would be like thinking I was about to say eyes, because everybody fucking says eyes. She had her thank you ready, you know what I'm saying? But then I say ears and she's like, oh, what the fuck? And then they laugh and it's different and that sticks out. You feel me?
And you'll look at them in the eyes while you say that.
Yeah, because then they're like, you know, they're going to say thank you. They're going to be nice. But in their head, they're like, oh, yeah, God, I've heard this already. But when I say ears, they're like, what? And then that kind of helps you stick out. You feel me? So I would always try to, you know, especially if I knew it was a girl that got approached a lot, I would try to approach it differently.
Right.
So that it's like something that in the sea of dudes trying to holler, it's something that differentiates myself from the pack. You know? But I did have there was a dude that I gave that advice to, or I said that in a video one time, and this guy,
He went and practiced it,
and I just don't think his delivery was good. Like, but also, you know what I'm saying? Like, I feel like because I'm a funny person,
right,
I can deliver shit like that, and
you know how to do the setup and punch. Yeah.
Exactly. Because there was one dude, because I used to say, like, when I first said it in a video, I was like, yeah, girl, you got some pretty ass knees or something like that, right? And he's like, yeah, so I sat next to this pretty girl in my class. And I said, you have nice elbows. And then she got up and left. So I think it's also in the delivery you know? And but yeah, that's something I used to do. Just like when you're funny, it helps.
When you just know comedy.
I mean, it helps, you know? Like, a lot of girls will say, like, you know, a funny dude, you know, like, they like a funny dude, you know what I'm saying? And I'll say this all the time. Like, I'm not a dude that, like, when I would walk into a party, a girl at the party's like, yo, I'm gonna fuck that guy, right? But I say, give me 10 minutes next to the potato chips, and the girl's gonna be like, I might fuck this guy.
Yeah.
I think I wanna fuck this guy.
Yeah.
You know?
Give me some conversation.
Exactly.
And then, you know.
And I'll joke them panties right off, you know?
Back in the day, though.
Yeah. Yeah, it's been a long time.
What do you think was the smoothest thing that somebody ever, like, you know, made a move on Wildin' Out, or, like, maybe after the episode ended?
That I witnessed.
Yeah. And what do you think is the smoothest cast member?
I think I was like, who do you think has the smoothest dick?
Myself.
Let's see. Probably the smoothest cast.
Aside from you, of course.
Well, yes, of course. Yeah. Smoothest cast member, I would say. You know who's, like, secretly real smooth? Like, Carlos Miller is a real, like, smooth, like, he's a funny.
He got a voice, too.
He got a deep-ass voice. Yeah. And he's just a really smart guy. Like, he's not only funny, but people don't realize he's, like, super smart. So I feel like, you know, Carlos is the type of dude to really, like, you know, be making, like, undercover plays. You know what I'm saying? And let's see. You know what the thing about it is? And there was this episode of Wildin' Out where Chrissy Teigen was on, and I forgot exactly what happened, but, like,
John Legend was on the side. Like,
John was home. John was home, but, like, Carlos, like, picked up Chrissy Teigen and was like, and tell John Legend I'm gonna fuck his wife or something like that. He made some joke about smashing Chrissy Teigen, and she just laughed. She was like, oh my God. But I low-key think she was feeling it, you know what I'm saying?
Oh.
But it was, I mean, she was just having a good time.
Yeah.
But you know what the thing about it is, in terms of Wildin' Out girls, I mean, yeah, there's you know, of course there's people, like, doing their thing, and people are hooking up, of course. It's like camp almost.
Right.
But from the very first season that we did, they were like, all right, y'all, remember, keep your hands to yourself with these Wildin' Out girls. We're not trying to catch no cases. Like, there was a couple seasons where they would put the Wildin' Out girls in a completely different hotel because they just didn't want people, like, canoodling, like,
right. Like, business is business. Okay, makes sense. Now, but for yourself, right, being surrounded by a lot of, I would say, attractive women, right? How does wifey feel about such things, even before you proposed?
I mean, wifey, here's the thing, right? One of the main reasons that she stood out and she was special is because she was such a level-headed person. And she understood what I did before we got together, you know. She like eventually she had seen the videos, and she recognized what my brand was, and I was making jokes like this, and I was doing sketches like this. So she understood it was just entertainment, you feel me?
Was there a talk in the beginning about such things?
Kind of, sorta. Like, she just understood what it was. But there was a point where she was like, all right, look, man, because I was shooting a lot of sketches in my condo, right? Yeah. And so she would be like, all right, look, I know you shoot these sketches, but no more girls in the bed, all right? She's like, this is our area. Yeah. If you're going to be doing these little scenes with these girls,
get
like
a hotel.
Don't do it in the bed. Yeah, so I started, there was a point where if I was doing any skit that was like, this is after some sex or it's whatever, then it would be like a hotel or it would be like on a couch. It was just never in the bed. The bed was like our sacred zone.
Yeah, you feel me?
Makes sense. And for her, she just kind of feels like, you know, she knows she's the shit. So she's like, man, if you want to go do some dumb shit, like, that's your loss. She's like, I'm not gonna, you know, like, I used to, because we were long distance for a long time, too. Right. So I tell people, I'm like, and people would be like, aren't you concerned about your girl doing something while, you know, y'all are in another country, whatever, yeah, whatever, or doesn't, or her, vice versa. And I'm like, look, man, my girl's smart, you know? If she wanted to cheat on me, we could live 10 minutes away and she could cheat on me. It's not gonna make no fucking difference, you know? So there's no point in constantly being worried about something. Mm-hmm. And I feel like she's on the same vibe. It's like, look, I haven't given her any reason to suspect anything. Yeah. Like, we just...
Do you tell her, like, oh, I'm about to shoot with so-and-so?
Yes, I always get her permission, mm-hmm, and, like, I let her know what's good, right?
Yeah. We love a woman who puts logic over emotion sometimes.
I mean, it's difficult.
Yeah,
it's not easy, you know?
Like, some of my videos, I'll be wilding a little bit.
As you should.
As I should. and I have a girl now who is... you know, she's starting to become more open-minded because here's the thing. I can't compromise my videos for somebody, especially not now.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So it's like either you roll with the punches or like, hey, you know, maybe this isn't for us.
Right.
And then I think that is like a big indicator of like whether the relationship is going to last, because it's like, it's not easy for a girl to like be understanding of like just exactly what you do with,
I mean, especially if they're not in the industry. Feel me? And that credit to my chick, because she's not a part of that shit at all, and she was able to really, you know, take a step back and understand what I was doing. I mean, yeah,
was there ever been a video where she's like, oh no, you can't do this?
Why? Well, I'll tell you what, there was a vlog where I made a joke where I had did a collab with a homegirl, like a rap song, right? And I was vlogging, and I was like, yeah, you know, so she asked me to hop on a track, so I said, if you hop on his dick, nah, I'm just playing. And that was the joke, right?
Yeah.
But wifey saw that, and she was like, I don't like that. Because for her, when I do the skits, this is me portraying a character. You feel me?
Yeah.
When I was vlogging and I made this joke about fucking another girl, she's like, I'm not feeling that. Right. So I was like, immediately, I was like, got you. Took the vlog down, took the joke out, re-uploaded. You know what I'm saying? Because especially, I understand how much she deals with that a lot of girls probably wouldn't be able to handle.
So I was like,
yo, okay, if this crosses any type of border for you, then I got you. You know what I'm saying?
And that's a level of respect that you got for...
Yeah, because I understand that it's probably not the easiest thing to be, like, especially at that time. I was doing some, like, you know, my skits were kind of out there. You know what I mean? So I was like, I understand it's probably not the easiest thing, especially when you have girls in the comments all the time. How does Chia feel about this? Tagging Chia like she doesn't have the internet. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it gets annoying, and so I understand what she has to deal with. So I'm like, if ever she feels a certain type of way, and I can understand what she's feeling, then it's like, okay, yes.
I remember this one video specifically where you was just rapping and you just had some fat Asian booty, it like just twerking in the back. I forgot what it was.
Oh yeah, that's an old one.
Yeah. And I was just like, is she in her G-string? What is this? And she was just shaking ass. I was like,
Yes.
Tim be getting it away with.
Yes, you're talking about. Oh yes. I did a Tatiana little freestyle.
Yeah. That's what it was.
And. Yeah, here's what's funny is when I put that on YouTube, so I put the little clip of just the rap part on Instagram, right? But when I put up the whole thing on YouTube, I did a little like disclaimer. I'm like, all right, y'all, just so you know, wifey approves of this. It's all good. She's not tripping. Just because I knew the comments were about to be stupid, you know. But
fire video.
Shout out to wifey. Shout out to The girl that was twerking. And...
Facts. Let's get a little deep. What do you think was the biggest mistake of your career?
The biggest mistake of my career. You know, here's the thing, right? I feel like all mistakes are like lessons, right? So I don't necessarily ever look back on anything and I'm like,
yeah. Or biggest lesson, I guess.
Yeah, okay. I'll tell you what. Well, immediately when you asked me that question, something that I think of that I still feel like it wouldn't have worked out necessarily timing-wise. But so I got hit up to audition for Hamilton, okay? And this was before I even knew
the play,
the musical, play, right? Musical. Yeah. The fucking huge musical. Right. And somebody from Hamilton casting hit me up years ago and they were like, yo, we're interested in Tim auditioning for Hamilton musical. And I was like, because I guess they were about to extend to like, do LA and like just go on tour and shit like that. Right. And I had never heard of it. Right. And it would have been great because like I did musicals in high school and shit. It's like I like musicals, but for me I was about to start working on a new album and I was like, oh, you know what? I don't know if I have time to commit to a musical right now. I think I'm gonna decline. And they were like, that's fine, right? Wow. Cool. So then I was talking to my agent and I was supposed to go to New York for something and my agent was like, oh, you know what we should do? We should get you tickets to watch Hamilton. And I'm like, what is that? And she was like, oh, it's this hugely popular musical right now. They're rapping. It's like people can't get tickets for like months. It's sold out. I was like, oh, all right, well, check this out. They just hit me up to audition and I said no. And she was like, Tim, what are you doing? Get them back right now and hit them back. I was like, oh shit, all right. So I emailed them. I'm like, yo, I'm so stupid, you know what I'm saying?
You got any more spots?
Can I still get in there? And they're like, of course. So they sent me the shit to audition. I sent my audition. They were like, oh, this is great. And then they sent me for a follow-up audition, they sent me like sheet music to like audition with the music from the actual play, right? And I didn't know how to read sheet music. I was like, all right, bet I'll just download the soundtrack and memorize it and then audition. And then, but I didn't know who was who and what was what. And I was like, and I just kind of never got around to it. You feel me? But that is something I always look back. I'm like, shit. I mean, that could have been good. But at the same time, I feel like timing wise, it wouldn't have been right. You feel me?
Then you'd be going to New York doing these plays every.
Or unless they had me in the LA chapter of it, like on tour or whatever. Uh-huh. It just would have taken up so much time. I feel like I at that point in my career, I didn't have time to be doing that.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. But yeah.
Now, next question. Biggest risk. Biggest, like, heart pumping, like, oh, I don't know if I should. Fuck it.
Biggest risk was probably, you know, when I officially was like, I'm going to drop out of college and pursue the entertainment stuff. Yeah, 100%.
That's surprising because, like, you've had a long career, but that's still, like, the biggest risk.
I mean, I think so because that is the moment when you're like, I'm really going to kind of invest in myself, right? And it's like, up until that point, I was in college, and then the YouTube stuff was beginning to pop off. Yeah. So I was trying to balance both, right? Yeah. And I was just kind of being like mediocre, just floating that boat. Yeah. You feel me? And then when it got to a point where I was like, okay, I need to pick one of these because nothing is.
What year were you?
I was probably. Oh, well, here's the thing. That decision, that making that official decision to drop out of college was like a couple years in the making. You feel me? Because the YouTube shit was beginning to pop off. And then what I would do is I would register for a whole semester of classes. But then I'm like, I ain't got time because I got to do the show and I got to shoot this thing. And I would end up dropping like half my classes. By the end of the semester, I'd have like a class. You feel me? So there were semesters where I was just part-time student for like three or four, like probably a good year and a half.
You know? Okay, yeah.
So when I finally dropped off, I was like, man, I was like a fucking like fifth year.
With a 1.2 GPA.
No, it was just, you know, I was like, oh, what am I doing here? You know? Yeah. So when I finally was like, okay, not going back. You know, it's a little scary, right? Because you're like, okay, I really have to not only prove this to myself, but prove it to my family, show them that I'm making the right decision, you know? And so I would
like
say,
the bread always got to start coming in for the family to be like, oh.
Yeah. I tell people all the time, I'm like, look, man, if you got parents that give you a hard time about pursuing your dreams, they going to drop all that once you give them money.
Yeah.
Once you start giving them a little bit of money, they're like, oh, okay. Okay. All right, this is cool. They just want to make sure you're taken care of. You know, yeah, I think at the end of the day, they want to make sure you're safe and secure.
But a lot of times, like, when you do pursue these careers, the money don't start coming in until maybe year two, year three. Oh. It's a lot of initial, like, investment in time. That's why I tell the kids, at least. Yeah.
Oh, because they expect it to pop off immediately. Yeah. They're so stupid.
Yeah.
You got to put in the work, bro. Yeah. I was broke for a long time, you know? Like, I was working at Foot Locker and California Pizza Kitchen. And, like, you know, I had mad jobs before I actually was able to live off the YouTube shit.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah,
and I was, like, not getting views for a long time. You know what I'm saying? It was, like...
Wait, how long did it take you for, like, the first video to pop off?
I mean, okay, so when I first got on YouTube, it wasn't a whole lot of people on YouTube, you know, so that's probably one of the things that really kind of helped me stick out a little bit.
Yeah.
I mean, now there's so many people, right? But when I got on, there was no such thing as internet famous.
Yeah.
Now people are, when I got on YouTube, it's because I was trying to be like famous, right? I was trying to be in movies and TV and shit. Now people start YouTube channels because they want to be YouTube famous, right? That's the goal. There was no such thing when I started. So, when I was uploading my shit, I mean, I probably was getting like, you know, like in the beginning, a few thousand views and being like, oh man, this shit is something, right? Yeah. I remember one of my very, very first videos. I'm like, damn, my channel got deleted. Ah, I had 500 subscribers. Damn, I got to start all over again, you know? And then...
I remember that there was this one video, like, I think, like, you were the original, like, reactions.
Yeah, high key, bro.
Now, back then, this is like the golden age of like Asian YouTube, where everybody was like together hanging out. Like, who was you closest with?
I mean, let's see. So we were definitely all getting booked for shows at the same time. It was definitely like a little, like a nice little squad, you know?
Yeah.
And that was the blessing. Like, we were all getting booked for the same shows, so we would like, we're traveling the world together, basically. It was, I was in a kind of unique lane because, you know, I was doing the comedy stuff and I was doing the music shit, right? So, I got really close to, like, the music side of Asian YouTube. Like, I was just at J.R. Kino's wedding, like, like a few months ago. And Andrew Garcia, even though he's not Asian, he's, like, you know, technically, he's grandfathered in to the Asian squad. Like, that's still my boy. I feel like I was super close to Andrew, J.R., I'll still, you know, I'll hit up, when I'm in Vegas, I'll hit up Ryan Higa on occasion and be like, hey man, what's good? What you up to? You want to get some grub or something?
The 5 things you should do as a man before you settle down and get married. Let's go with that.
Here's just on some basic adult shit.
Okay.
I didn't understand how credit worked at all as a youngin.
Same.
And,
not till last year.
They don't teach you that shit in school like they should. You feel me? And so my credit got fucked up as a youngin who was beginning to make money, because I just didn't understand how it worked. Like, you know, you go to the mall, you sign up for these little like Macy's card, Nordstrom's cards and shit. And I was just kind of like, oh yeah, whatever, yeah, give me the discount, give me the card, whatever. And
you got like 10 cards.
Well, let me tell you what happened. I had like a charge for like a dollar that was left on my Macy's card, and in my head I was like, who cares about this dollar? Who cares? It's a fucking dollar, right? But it. Every month, they're sending me this thing where you owe a dollar, maybe it was like 75 cents on this fucking Macy's card that I'm not paying. And I didn't realize it was fucking up my credit. Every month, I wasn't paying it was like my credit was getting worse and worse. And in my head, I'm like, who cares? It's a fucking dollar. But it was a credit card I wasn't paying off, and that really kind of fucked up my credit for a long time. So that's something. Know about your credit shit. Yeah. Or try to handle that. For me, also...
Yo, is 750 a good one?
I think that's decent.
That's decent.
Yeah,
I could buy like a car.
Yeah, you're good. You're good. and that's the thing too. You think and you got to use credit cards to build credit.
Yeah.
I didn't know that shit. I was just like,
you had these Macy's cards chilling.
Yeah. I'm like, I have money. I'm spending the money I have. What's wrong with that? Yeah. But then you go to get a car or get a house, and they're like, you ain't got no credit. It's like, ah, shit. This is stupid, right? Yeah. All right. So that's one thing. Two, so if you're going to pursue some shit like this, independent business shit, taxes shit, you know, some people will tell you, make sure you get a LLC, incorporate your business, you know, because I didn't know about that shit either. until my tax, I started making some money, and my tax guy was like, yo, we should probably incorporate you so you can, you know, have a business account. You can write off your expenses, yes. business expenses.
Yes.
I didn't know about that shit. I didn't really like, dang. For some reason, I didn't trust it. Uh-huh. Right. I was like, I don't know, man. I'm gonna just keep using my personal account to pay for this business shit.
Yeah.
And I was making so much money this 1 year. And then when taxes came, bro.
Oh, you got fucked,
it was
huh?
crazy. I couldn't believe how much I was paying in taxes. Yeah. And he was like, man, if you would have listened to me, this I could have fixed this for you. I was like,
and California be going crazy with the taxes.
Yes, they do. Whoa. Yes, they fucking do. So that was something, you know, if you're beginning to make a little money doing your independent business, incorporate yourself, LLC, yeah. And you can literally, especially if you like do some shit like this,
yeah,
YouTube shit, vlog shit, I can literally write off basically everything.
Everything.
Yes. So
my meals with, you know,
yes,
like, hey, this is a business meeting.
You're paying your boy who runs your camera and shit like that. Yeah. It's like, that's business, right? So that's something. Three. Here's the thing, right? I feel like a lot of dudes, people, not just dudes. Let's say if they felt like they were like a loser before, they feel like all I gotta do to be happy and get some women is get some money, right? And that's not the case, because I know dudes specifically in the field we're in, right? Yeah. Motherfuckers are probably lame in high school.
Mm-hmm.
They got some YouTube views now.
Damn, man, you don't gotta make so much eye contact with me, bro. God damn. Like, I know I was lame, but like, damn, bro.
But I mean, hey. If this resonates with you, then it resonates with you, right?
It does.
They were lame, and then like they're like, I'm gonna get money, and now I'm cool, right? Yeah. But it's like, but then they're still lame in person. So it's like, so they got all this shit now, and they're still fucking unhappy. You feel me? And they like, yeah, they might smash a couple women that were just there to party or whatever, but then like, you're still fucking lame. You feel me?
Yeah.
And it's like, I know dudes specifically who it's like, They do all this because they feel like they kind of need to prove to themselves and to like to the world. Yeah, like, they can like, they like, and they have all this shit and they're like trying to flex, but it's like, bruh, like, it's no need to do all that. How are you going to win when you ain't right within? You know what I'm saying? To quote Lauryn Hill. You feel me?
That's so far. Like,
oh, shit. Shout out to Lauryn Hill, because I feel like, you know, instead of doing all this to stunt for the world, you really should, you know, take some time. I mean, as cliche as it sounds,
yeah,
learn to love yourself first,
before
you go do all this extra shit, before you hop into a relationship with somebody, because you're feeling like you need to fill some type of hole in your heart, you know what I'm saying? And
a lot of people don't know how to do that either, you know? It's like that advice, like, people will hear it, but it's like, oh man, how do I? But I always recommend books. Like, I don't know if you read, I read a lot of books, like, especially in, like, my college years and before all this shit went popping. I was like, all right, like, those books really taught me how to do that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think whatever you got to do, I think people are so afraid to just be single.
Yeah.
And they're afraid to just be by themselves, you know what I'm saying? Because you get very just dependent on, like, love and affirmations from other people.
Yeah.
I think the best thing to do is just be with yourself, chill. Yeah. And on that same token, number four, I think it's important to have a bit of a hoe stage. You feel me?
Yeah.
Whether that means, and when I say that, people are like, I'm not trying to just fuck the world. And I don't necessarily mean you gotta fuck the world. I mean, like, do what you wanna do because you wanna do it.
Yeah.
Whether that's fucking like 20 people or whether that's just like fucking somebody just because you wanna fuck, whether that's one or two or three people. Without feeling like I need to be in this like super emotional connection with somebody,
because
I got homegirls who
were just down to fuck.
Yes, that. Yeah. But I was also gonna say I got homegirls who regret not being more down to fuck, because in their younger days they were like, no, I need this and that. I need, like, buy me dinner, and I need to be respected and this and that. And then when they get older, they were like, man, why did I do that? I should have just been fucking.
Yeah.
She was like, I have one homegirl specifically. She was like, man, why did I put, like, to quote a 40-year-old virgin, she's like, why did I have my pussy on a pedestal? I had my pussy on a pedestal, and now
I should have had my pussy in the Costco, in the flea market.
I should have just had that shit on the floor chilling. You know what I'm saying? And she's like, I should have fucked around when I had the chance.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
She low-key regrets it, you know? And I think that's just a fun and low-key important part of life where you just kind of get to do what you want to do without worrying about society's standards. Yeah, you feel me? Yeah.
Man, that's very important things to put out there, because like just talking to older people, they'll kind of you know, tell me like, okay, these are the, like I forgot, it was like I think Gary Vee who says like, oh, you go to a retirement home and then you'll talk to like people and they'll really tell you like, man, these are the things I regretted doing in their lifetime. So it's like people really got to take this and like you know, to heart.
You know, just I feel like just live your best life. Here's the thing, right? I try to run my life remembering one key thing, right? Mm-hmm. Is that I could die at any time. Mm. You feel me? We could literally die. Something could crash through this window right now. Stork could fly through this glass right now. And the beak goes through your skull and you could die.
Damn.
You feel me? And then the feather flies off. He got bird flu.
My reaction time, but I knocked that fucking stork out.
Okay, shit. Well, the bird flu would have got us all in the room anyway.
Yeah.
So we could all die at any moment.
Yeah.
So that's why I always try to tell myself, like, yo, why waste time being worried about what other people think or about, like, being afraid of taking risks and going after what you want when you could literally just die. You feel me? Like, life is short. Why not make the most out of it?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. So, like, like 1 second you waste with overthinking, anxiety, that's 1 second you're not enjoying life.
Yeah, bro.
Yeah.
And number five would be, brush your tongue and floss your teeth, man. A lot of people don't take care of their mouths and their breaths just stink.
Brush your tongue, floss, everything.
Yes. People don't realize that. Motherfuckers feel like they can just spray some perfume, some cologne, and be smelling good on the outside. And then you open your mouth, and it's just, ugh.
Man. Here's some fucking Mentos. Do you feel like sex has changed over the years for you? And, like before, you were kind of, like, scared to ask for what you want and really let the freak out. And then, like, right, because it's, like, sex was, like, you know, awkward in the beginning state, like high school, college days.
Yeah.
Now, like, you know, shit, I'm getting my ass ate.
Well, let's go. Okay, so then I'd have to go back to my whole stage of my life, right? Yeah. Well, for sure, when you're younger and you're beginning to even, like, get to know sex and get to know yourself, it's shit you like where you're you don't want to be just come out with it. You know what I'm saying? I think even through all the hoeing I did, sex is the best when it's you're comfortable with somebody.
Yeah.
When you're consistently having sex with somebody so you can like really open up and share what you like and what you don't like and you get to know their bodies and shit like that. When you're kind of hooking up randomly, that's difficult. unless you got like a week of like some texting, like, oh, I like this, I like that. Yeah, you know, I want you to do this to me, that type of shit. You know, I feel like, when you get older, you definitely get better and you get more open to just speaking your mind.
Yeah.
I've said this before on my podcast where like, man, I feel like, there are women out there who, especially in my beginning stages of like fucking, who would tell you, man, Timothy De La Ghetto gave me some of the worst dick of my life.
Wait, like that's out there?
It was just an off day. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. It was an off day, and there were for sure women out there who were like, man, I should not have shaved and gone over there to hang out with him. You know what I'm saying? Or I should not have gone to that hotel room.
Yeah.
And then there are women who've been like, yo, Timothy De La Ghetto gave me some amazing dick. Mm. And I would 100% do it again.
My virgin years, oh, man. Like, my beginning years, those were some.
It's tough.
Yeah, those were some.
You don't know what's going on.
I don't, man.
You know what I'm saying?
I don't know which hole is hole. Which?
You're busting off fast. It's difficult. And the thing is, it's a lot of pressure on, you know, dudes are, you know, we're expected to be the ones to perform, put it down. We gotta last.
Yeah.
If the girl doesn't come, then we feel like failures and shit. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. But that's the beauty of when you're hooking up in your, like, older, like, mid-20s or whatever. Yeah. Or, like, with girls that are older that understand. Because I remember one time, you know, I had, like, some little whiskey dick in L.A. Or, no, in Vegas. I got some whiskey dick. And, you know, because that happens, you drink a little bit of alcohol, fucks your shit up, right?
Yeah.
And I was drinking, I couldn't get it up. It was a girl I was randomly hooking up with in Vegas. But she was like, She was like, "Nah, you good? It's just a little whiskey, dick." And mm-hmm. then she just, you know, she domed me up, and we were good to go because she understands that's how it is. Like, a girl that had never experienced that before is gonna look at me like, "Oh my god, what's wrong with you?" Right?
Nah, yeah, dome me up.
Yeah, but a girl that has been through that before, had a little experience under her belt, be she like, knows what's "Oh, up. You just got some whiskey, dick. Mm. Put it in my mouth. We good to go." Right? So it's like, they get it.
Oh, all right. Last question to kind of wrap it up. Mm-hmm. I think one of the biggest insecurities that I think guys go through, especially for the short kings,
mm.
right? Is their height? That's something that they can't really change, right?
Right, right, right.
So, what advice do you have for guys out there? You know,
yeah,
with the short kings.
I'll tell you this, bro. First of all, I always preach that tall motherfuckers are weird. Tall dudes are strange.
Right.
And
like above 6'1" specifically, you know.
Nah, above 5'5".
Oh.
And I was like, but I preach this all the time because and I use this as kind of like a way to just like put it in the girls' heads too, that tall dudes are weird. Because well, here's the thing, when you think about it though, right? Tall dudes, they walk into the room, they get attention immediately. All right. So they're low key. It's like a tall dude privilege situation where they're immediately going to get eyes on them. Girls like, "Oh, he's tall," right? Mm-hmm. For that reason, they usually can't dress as well. Can't find clothes that fit their long ass bodies.
A little awkward. Yeah.
Sense of humors aren't as on point because they don't need to have sense of humor. You feel me? They get the attention because they're tall. So they're always a little weird, a little awkward, a little lame.
Yeah.
Shorter dudes, we have to bring the attention back down. Mm. So it's like we always had personality, sense of humor. You just got to find the short dude. And this is where it gets tricky for girls. Short dudes that are lit but also don't have the inferiority complex, you feel me? That feel like they always have to, like, little man complex. Mm. You know what I'm saying? Mm. Because there's that also. But so as a short dude, for me, like I said, I always was just going after girls because I was like, who cares if I get rejected, right?
Yeah, right.
And confidence is such a big thing, not just for women, but just in life. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. As long as you believe in yourself and you really walk into the room like, "I'm the shit," people will be like, "Oh, he's the shit."
Yeah,
you
know what I'm saying? Yeah, yeah.
And so for and that's the thing, short dudes, like, they get so self-conscious about it that they won't even attempt,
right,
you know?
Right.
It's like, Where you look at someone and you're like, "Oh, she's out of my league." I feel like that's so dumb.
Right, right.
Because
right.
once you say that to yourself, you're saying you lost the game before you even tried.
Yeah.
You know
yeah.
what I'm saying? So and for every like tall, like as a short dude, for every tall girl where you're like, "Man, I would love to like hook up with a girl or try hooking up with this tall girl," there's a tall girl who's like, "Yo, I want to be like to fuck that short guy."
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, it exists, right?
Yeah, it's just in the back of their mind, you just got to make the initiative.
Yeah, yeah, because they're not thinking this short guy would ever come talk to me.
Yeah.
Because they're thinking, "Oh, he's too scared." You
yeah.
feel me?
Mm-hmm.
But then you never know. She might be like, "Oh, okay, this is cute. I'm
yeah,
down."
Yeah.
Yes, Twitter will have you believe that girls only mess with dudes over 5'9",
right?
5'10". Right. But
yeah,
it's like, honestly, bro, girls are as horny as guys are.
Yeah,
you feel
yeah.
me? They're really out there like we are.
And it's like when these girls talk to a tall, lame dude, they realize, "I don't like lame dudes either."
It's facts.
So,
I mean, the tallest girl I ever messed with, I've told the story all the time, but like I used to canoodle with a girl that was like 5'10".
Oh!
Yeah. Yeah. And she loved my dick, bro. And here's the thing. And like, And all it was, all it just took was I just had to be a little charming, you know what I'm saying? And then and I remember specifically, you know, because I was still living at home, so like I was, you know, just
that's how I know she really fucked with you.
Oh yeah,
yeah,
bro.
She went back to the crib.
Yeah, it wasn't even about no money. She
she
just thought I was cute, right?
Wow.
But I remember I was holding her legs up and just thinking like, "God, these long ass legs, heavy as shit." Yeah. And then, like, she's laying on my bed. I was like, "Geez, she's taking up my whole bed. What the hell?"
Legs hanging off the bed and shit.
Yeah. But it's possible. You feel me? And I've told this story a million times on my podcast. But this one time, We were trying to hook up. We were outside, but we were trying to hook up on some freaky shit. But of course, you know, she's 5'11", so her cooch is like at my nipples. So I can't really reach like that, right?
You gotta like climb a tree stump.
So what I did, yeah, basically, there was a bucket outside. So I turned the bucket upside down, stood on the bucket, and then we smashed like that.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I think, for the short dudes, just find a new identity to think about. You know, you like the Allen Iverson of the, you know?
Yeah, I just don't get so hung up on your own insecurities.
Yeah.
Because it's like, you're really holding yourself back, I feel.
And then at the next party, just look at these tall motherfuckers. Like, what are they doing?
Like, look, yes, there are going to be girls who are going to be like, oh, no, he's too short. But then, you know, you just got to do like, who cares?
Yeah.
Because there's for every girl that says you're too short, there's going to be another girl that says, okay, I'm down. Give me that little short king dick.
Oh, man. Well, hey, Tim, it is a pleasure to have you on today's show.
Well, thanks for having me, bro.
Yeah, man. It's been fun.
Yes, sir.
Please check out No Chaser. Check out Tim. All the links are down below.
Yes.
And... you know, check out, you know, all the podcast episodes that he was talking about. You know, he probably has stories.
Yeah. We got a lot of sex and relationship advice on the No Chaser podcast. I do another podcast with my boy David Soul called Dudes Behind the Foods.
Yeah.
YouTube.com/Timothy for all that shit.
There you go. All right. Peace.